Anyway, so I know we're supposed to talk Hilchot Megillah, but I think we'll just start briefly talking about Arba Parashiyot, and we'll work our way into the Megillah briefly. Basically, everything I'm telling you is, you know, black on white in all the regular Sefarim that you have, Chacham Avadia, Chacham Etzion, Ben Yishkai, Rabbi Naxon's Laws of Holidays. I happen to use Rabbi Naxon's Laws of Holidays just as my notes. You know the book we have over there next to Yalkut Yosef? No, the blue one. This past week we read Parashat Shikalim, as Rosh Chodesh Adar comes, the Mishnah says you're supposed to be Mashmiya, supposed to announce the Shikalim, everyone's supposed to donate the Shikalim for the Beit HaMikdash, annual donation for the Korban Tamid, twice daily Korban Tamid, is paid for by the Sipur, everyone pays a half a shekel every year, at the very minimum, and that covers all the Korbanot for the year. Now, what if Parashat Zachor is coming up? It's always a Shabbat before Purim. It's called Parashat Shabbat Zachor. But we read Parashat Zachor from Parashat Kitetze, where he discusses Amalek and how you have to remember and wipe out Amalek. It's a biblical obligation according to many, and the rabbinic obligation according to many. So, whatever you do, the Shulchan Aruch seems to hold that it is a biblical obligation. That's why it's imperative to be at Mishul, Shabbat morning, Shabbat Zachor, that you hear Parashat Zachor, and you know, make sure you get to wipe out Amalek. If a person misses it, you can make it up that day, make it up later, whatever it is, fine. Preferably, you should be a Sephardi Minyan, the Sephardi Sefer Torah. Preferably, you should be here in Yeshiva, where you have a beautiful experience. Every Shabbat Zachor, both you can be a Sephardi Minyan here. Yeah.
A little
off topic. Okay. I'm going to say a Shehakol one second. Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam, Shehakol, Mehiyah B'Dorah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Zachor sound like?
And then on, like, they'll be old about Amalek. Like, are they just anyone who tries to kill the Jews, or just flood by Amalek?
And Rav Soloveitchik versus everyone else. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik versus everyone else.
What are they?
Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said anyone who tries to wipe out the Jewish people, you know, acquires the status of Amalek, and therefore all the halachot apply to him. It's a classical understanding. Everyone assumes it's just a blood thing. The Rambam writes that, well, you don't know where they are anymore today. So, like, so we can't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the Soloveitchik view is, you know, as much as it's not explicit anywhere, it's a good machshava to have.
Yeah,
and I don't think anybody used that kind. Klal Gadol, most of the Sephardic rabbis are not living in this, like, abstract philosophical world that we have to, like, think that way. You don't have an explicit Shulchan Aruch, like, and my mind doesn't know how to process that information. So, except for Chacham Enzion, Chacham Uziel, and Chacham Chaim David Levi. Yeah.
This Shabbat will probably be in other Shabbat, like this past Shabbat, I was in Ashkenazi Shul because there's one not too far away, and I tend to have a nicer experience than the other Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
And, well, it's far, not necessarily.
Yeah.
So, like, is there a inherent issue with that?
No, b'diavad you would say with anything, but as much as this is a mitzvah d'oraita, it's more appropriate to fulfill it in the most mehudar way.
But if that, I'm reading it myself, along with...
If you're getting the aliyah, that's one thing, but if you're... So you're not supposed to push the parashat zachor, you're supposed to just listen to the Kriyat HaTorah. Oh, for shkalim, it doesn't matter, whatever you want. There's no... It's only the rabbinic obligation at the end of the day. There's not so important, yeah.
Did you say, I'm sorry, I'm
but totally fine. I repeat myself this morning four times at the same point in class, yeah?
Did you say in front of yourself that you should be preferably in yeshiva?
Yeah, every Shabbat you should be in yeshiva preferably, but your parents are very Persian, I'm sure. So that means that you can never be out of the house.
Why is that a thing? It's like a Jewish idea that you should stay in every week. I don't get it. Why?
You get to live the life. You're here every week, so you need to get out.
I don't want
to
be here.
You're here every week. You need to get out.
I wish I could go home like
it's like, why is that an idea?
Why? Where do you live?
I'll digress for a second. The role of a mashgiach type rebbe is to find the things that need chizuk, that need people to emphasize them, and to emphasize them. If you're in a yeshiva where everyone's learning three siddurim a day, never look outside the door. Mm-hmm. So, in your job as a mashgiach is to find what are they missing, what are they overlooking in terms of relating to the outside world, and remind them about it. But if you're living in a yeshiva where everyone's looking out the window and not looking inside, like in the mornings here, so my job is to put everyone inside and not outside, right? I have to always balance. If you're a guy from in town, or whose parents are super Persian and can't even fathom their child not being home Thursday night until Monday morning, then we have a problem. We need to fix that.
Every yeshiva is like that.
Not
every yeshiva is like that.
Every yeshiva
and
where?
Everywhere. And regardless of the type of guys in that yeshiva,
yeah,
they're always pushing the standard.
So, one thing at a time.
It's a good Indian to stay in for sure.
Yeah, one thing at a time, one thing at a time. So then, in general, that's what I'm doing right now. That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And right now, in terms of Shabbat here, is beautiful. And if you don't have someone to tell you to be here, a lot of times you can go your entire 3 years here and miss it. That's one thing. If you're already here by default, I, Adirabba, will encourage you to leave. It's important to leave also, you know. But in terms of the yeshiva offering, yeshiva programming, we offer you, try to...
Why you, I get. I mean, like,
generally. Yeah, but like in general, yeshiva's in general. We want to be a part of, it's part of being in yeshiva, not to take a break, to take the time to learn more independently. Here in yeshiva on Shabbat is such a beautiful thing, especially in the winter, but even in the spring, to be able to, like, the meal is 1 hour long, maybe go to the tish, that's another hour, maybe you talk to someone for half an hour, and you still have 5 hours that you can just learn uninterrupted, nothing else going on, whatever you want to learn, and just the ability to just wind down and not be stressed out about every little thing that happens in the same setting, I think is very valuable. Yeah. That too, yeah. Yeah. You're not running. I used to run to the calf, get a grab, and go to my dorm. I was in Reuben. Like, I could just eat there too, but I would go upstairs. That or you hang out with the quickie people that you already know. So you didn't accomplish anything all week long because you're all like running and running and running. Here, take a break. Otherwise, this place is just all about nerves and being stressed out and anxiety. Fine. Zachor is important. Hear it from a Sephardi Torah, Sephardi Baal Koreh if you can. Women, you know, if they're really busy with their children, don't have to come, but otherwise they should come too. Parashat Parah, the Shulchan Aruch also holds, is Deoraita. Many contest that. Parashat Parah is the Shabbat after Purim. And you do the Parah Duma in order to be Tahor, to bring the Korbanot, Korban Pesach, in the coming weeks. So, fine. Shabbat. Ideally, yeah. Ideally. But it's not as important as Zachor, but it's still Deoraita according to the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only those two, Zachor and Parah, according to the Shulchan Aruch. According to most other poskim, Parah is not, and according to some poskim, Zachor is not. But, so you want to tell me, like, if I missed, I remember too, the 2020, I missed Parah because second week after COVID started. Zachor we had here, right there, in the Sfardi Beit Midrash across the hall. There's a small chevra of Avrichim who came with their wives to read Zachor from the Sfardi Sefer Torah after Shacharit, because the Sfardi minyan was canceled that week, because everything was canceled that week. And then the next week, there was no minyan anymore, so I missed Parah. And then I held that the minyan was not being done properly when we got to Parashat Chukat, so I also missed Chukat, even though other people were like, how come you're not going to shul? So, no. By Kiteitse, I'm not sure. I think I might have, whatever, it doesn't matter. Anyway, it's better to be the Sfardi minyan. If you're not, great, fine. Good. But Chodesh Adar is a month of Mazal. Oh, that's the case. That was the case everybody was talking about. So he said, I'm so happy we're here at this Din Torah in the month of Adar. Because it says, Mishnichas Adar, Marvim Mishincha, the Jewish people, if they could schedule a court case, should schedule it for Adar. Because they have a Mazal, and it's better in Adar than in Chodesh Av, Chas V'Shalom, and it's that. The problem is, the 7th of Adar is Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site, Purim Katan passed already, Tani Esther. Tani Esther is not one of the Arba Ta'aniyot. The Arba Ta'aniyot are Som Gedalia, very good. And you were saying the pasuk in your Mio, Som Arvi, beautiful. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah, keep going. Yeah. Beautiful, good, yeah. Good.
I got the middle.
That's okay. Okay. Beautiful. Wow. Good. So is it Chidon,
Baruch Hashem? Good. No, that was just Levine in 6 or 7, 7 or 8 days.
Beautiful. So now, where is Tani Nester in the mix? It's not there. It's not one of the Arba Taniyot. It's not one of the things, the fasts that we have for...
It's a short
one, no? It is... No, Asar is a short one. No, so... Tani Nester is not one of the fasts that you can commemorate the morning of the Beit HaMikdash. It's actually a happy fast. The reason that we fast is to commemorate the fast of Esther that led to the success of Purim. Let's just review the timeline. When did Esther HaMalka fast? What day was she fasting? Pesach. They fasted on Pesach. Right, Rav Ben Chaim always says, there is 1 year the Jewish people fasted on Pesach and they ate on Kippur. What are those 2 years? Tanit Esther, the first Tanit Esther, she told all the Jewish people, Tsumu Alai, fast for me, as a zechut that I should be able to succeed against Haman. And then, when Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash, they ate on Kippur. Because he inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash on the 7th of Tishri, or the 8th of Tishri, and they had 7 days of fasting, including Yom Kippur. It's a Hora'at Sha'ah, one-year exception that everyone ate on Kippur.
But it's only Shushan that fasted, or all the practices?
So, I think it was only Shushan that fasted. But we, as in the Jewish people, have the halakha that we all fast together.
It was because it was Knesset Kol Yehudim on Shabbat Shushan, no?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't
all
the
Jews
that ate that are fasted on this.
Correct. Yeah,
I thought Esther went to have the Seudah with Haman and Hashrosh and the Knesset Fast because of the two Seudah.
I don't think so.
When Esther invited Haman and the Hashrosh to the Seudah, and the following night also, they said that those are the two Knesset Pesach that she made this whole Seudah. Maybe that's what the Pesach.
I think it was the third day of Pesach, and maybe I'm mistaken. I have to double check. I'm not saying I know for sure.
What, did they fast on the third day of Pesach?
No, I think that she went in on the third day of Pesach. Shlosh Hayamim, and on the third day of Pesach.
So the two parties were unrelated to Pesach?
I think so, yeah.
So I always learned that those were the two.
So, I mean, I could be perhaps wrong. I'm mistaken. I'm not saying I remember for sure. Afzu Chazara. Fine. So now in terms of Tani Esther, everyone's supposed to fast. You got to listen to music. You got to take a shower. And when the fast falls out on Shabbat, which is this year, we advance it to Thursday because it's a happy fast. The Mishnah Gemara says in Ta'anit that we advance happy things, and Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbat, we push off because we don't bring happy things earlier. Akdume Puran Mutal La Mekdaminan. We don't advance bad things; we push them off. Yeah. You may listen to music. You may listen to music on Ta'anit Esther. It's a happy day. Tani Dester. On Shivas Arbi Tammuz, you're not supposed to. And on Tisha B'Av, you're not supposed to. What about the other two? I don't know if there's a prohibition necessarily. You can't push off anyway, correct. You can't, after Shushan for maybe, but that's it. Yeah. It's supposed to be on Shabbat. It gets pushed up to Thursday.
So then the actual day
would be
Friday.
Thursday
night Friday.
No, Shabbat. Shabbat would be the fast day, but we bring it earlier to Thursday. Thursday.
Oh, it's just Thursday.
Thursday. Right? Good. So, and you're flying.
We're going to be flying as the fast starts.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, it should go well, there's Adesha. Don't worry. So, it's such a happy day to the point that if someone has a Birit Milah, he's an Avi Haben, he's a Sandak or a Mohel, or he's a Chatan or a Kala, and he's exempt. He or she is exempt from fasting because it's such a happy day, and happens from time to time that a guy gets married around this time of year, before the Pesach rush. And I know a guy who is from Hawaii, who's in the Sfaradi Minyan from Hawaii, who's getting married on Sunday. Thursday is in Lo Shavu Bracha, so he's not going to be fasting. Very simple.
How long after you get married, are you still going to be Chatan?
7 days from the chuppah, 24 hours times 7.
But a woman is 30 days, no? So that's why she doesn't have to wash her face any Kippur. She's allowed to wash her face any Kippur if she's within 30 years of getting married.
That's, yeah, something else though. Correct. That's not because she's a Kala. That's Shilote Kala. Shilote Meguna Beina or whatever. Yeah. That's something else though.
So she's considered a Kala only for 7 days, but we still don't take away the jewelry.
The Simcha of Shavuot Brachot is only for 7 days. There's a Chiyuv Simcha and a Chiyuv Beracha. So for a Betulah who gets married, there's 7 days of Simcha, yeah.
Is there anything special about the
Shabbat?
Is there anything
You just don't need Panir Chadashot for the first two meals. Otherwise, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I always found that weird. You're supposed to have two people that weren't at your wedding. Yeah. So I'm not going to invite you to my wedding, but please come into my Shabbat Rachel.
You'll meet plenty of people over the course of the years that will work out. And also people couldn't make it to your wedding because there was something else they had to do. Hazarashem. When they decline your wedding, you respond and say, come to Shalav Berachot. And if they really don't like you, then they'll make up some excuse why they can't do that either. You'll figure it out. Anyway, there's a minhag to give zecher to machas b'shekel, amount of money as a zecher to machas b'shekel. There's a minhag to do that. Ashkenazim say you give $1.50, 3 coins, and we say you give more than that. So it's about $9, whatever. Every year depends on the price of silver. Usually around this time of year, they give a WhatsApp goes out saying today this year's recommended machas de shekel money is $9, $18, whatever it is, and you usually give it on Tani just there as an extra zechut. There are little selecta boxes that I put around the yeshiva. I think it's supposed to be before Purim.
No, I used to.
Mas matanot levyonim is on Purim itself. Zecher lemachatzit ha-shekel. Separate thing. You read Parashat Shekalim? Correct, yeah. You should like Tani Yester at Mincha time. People give Zecher lemachatzit ha-shekel.
Yeah, I mean, you still want money.
Yeah, yeah. Usually they say that machatzit ha-shekel money should go towards Talmud Torah, Avrichim, and Yeshiva institutions, not as much Manatom Levyonim. You could also be Yotze with that. Doesn't matter. It's just a minhag anyway. But more likely, more commonly, they stress from Rav Chaim Falaji said. Rav Chaim Falaji was the chief rabbi of Izmir. He was the Chacham Bashi in the Ottoman Empire. There was always a Chacham Bashi who was the chief rabbi. And in Izmir, he was the chief rabbi of Izmir. So I don't think the whole Ottoman Empire, just Izmir. So Rav Chaim Falaji also wrote like 60, 70 Sefarim, right? We spoke about the Chida. The Chida had Bali Batim and Salon in Livorno lining up to sponsor his Torah books, his Sefarim, all the time. Sorry, I said Torah books because my kids whatever. So Rav Chaim Falaji also, in Izmir, there were so many wealthy people lining up. Rabbi, my son is getting married. I want you to write a Sefer of Tirushim Ala Torah, and published it in honor of my son's wedding. Day and night, he was publishing Sefarim, Rav Chaim Falaji. So he writes, in one of his Sefarim, the minhag is, you give Zecher l'machatzit ha-shekel for these things, for Torah institutions, and people to learn Torah. Now, in terms of the halachot of the Megillah, to say it very simply, you should hear the Megillah reading on Purim. That's really all you need to know. Don't miss any words. Great. But now let's get into the details, now that you heard the bottom line, let's get into some of the details. Right, everyone is obligated to hear the Megillah, men and women, not children. Men have to hear it because you have to do the mitzvah. Women have to hear it because, even though it's time-bound, they were also there. Now, when do you have to read the Megillah? Read the Megillah once at night and once during the day. Right? Elohai ekra yomam v'layla, yomam v'lo yaneh, v'layla, whatever it is. You have to read the Megillah once at night and once during the day. The main reading is during the day. Additionally, later on, over the years, the Chachamim added the nighttime reading. That wasn't part of the Takana of Mordechai and Esther. It came a little bit later, most likely. Now, why they add it? That's a good question. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, Chayav Adam lekro the Megillah Alayla Ushanotah Bayom, Ushanotah Bayom. Read it again. The Gemara doesn't say why, though. I'm not sure. Good question. Yeah.
There's no issue of adding on the mitzvah by reading the Megillah multiple times, like even during the day, if you read the Megillah multiple times.
The rule is Yatza Motzi, that as long as there's another Jew in the world who hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah, you can help him perform the mitzvah. So it's not considered you doing it an extra time. It's considered you doing it for him doing it now. You're just doing it for him. Even though you are Yotze, you can fulfill it for him. Rabbis say Kiddush in nursing homes many times because there's so many people who need them to say Kiddush for them. So it's not a violation of Baal Tosif. Now, we read the Megillah from basically Tzedak Kochavim until Alot HaShachar in the morning. Preferably, you should read it sooner rather than later because you're not allowed to have a meal until you read the Megillah, like any mitzvah. You're not allowed to have a meal before you perform the mitzvah, right? Mincha in any given day. You're not really allowed to have a meal until you pray mincha. You're not allowed to have a meal until you pray arvit. Oh, how come we all do that? The answer is we have a schedule. 2:30 mincha and 10 o'clock arvit. So since you have a schedule, you're not going to forget. You're allowed to have a meal because you most likely will get to the mitzvah at the right time. But for mitzvah that don't have a set time, you're not allowed to have a meal before that because you might get stuck in the meal and not actually do the mitzvah. So someone, let's say, who has to be in yeshiva on Purim, you're here for Shabbat, you're not going anywhere Motzei Shabbat. You're in shul already, of course you're going to read the Megillah. Or if you're home, you're in shul already, of course you're going to read the Megillah. But let's say, on a regular year where Purim is the middle of the week, and you are a Baruch Hashem, a working man, and you have to go to work on Tani Dester. Okay, I have to make money. I can't lose my job. I can't take off every time there's a fast. I'm going to work on Tani Dester. That's okay. I'm going to go to shul later. Are you allowed to go to the late Megillah reading at 10 o'clock after work? Ideally, no, because you're supposed to be doing the mitzvah as early as possible. You don't want to forget and lose track of the mitzvah. It happens to me from time to time that for whatever reason I wasn't able to daven Arvit with the Minyan. where my parents live, they don't always have a minyan for Arvit, Motzei Shabbat, for example. So, or my kids, I take my kids to shul, to 54 for father-son learning, the parent-child learning program. And I want to go to the 7:30 Arvit in the winter, but I don't get to it because my kids are with me. And then I get back, put my kids to bed, learn, eat Milah v'Malka, take a shower, about to go to sleep. I'm like, I didn't have an Arvit yet. It's 1:30 in the morning. Well, duh, I violated the halacha. I wasn't supposed to eat until I prayed. I forgot. My mistake, right? Okay, so that's why it's so important not to eat a meal before the Megillah reading. However, what is not stressed enough is that it's okay, as long as you don't have to say Havdalah, it's okay to drink or have a snack before you read the Megillah. Let's say it's Tani Esther in the middle of the week, followed by Purim in the middle of the week, and you want to just, you know, stay awake. You're tired, you're thirsty. You don't have to wait until after the Megillah is done. There's no mitzvah of extra fasting. It's not Kippur where there's a Tosefet Kippur, there's a mitzvah to fast longer. When the fast is over, eat something. Shalom Yisrael. Any fast day during the year. It's not like there's a mitzvah to add on to the fast day except for Kippur. So when the fast is over, whether you prayed Arvit or not, have a drink of water. There's no mitzvah to be me'aneh yourself, to torment yourself any further. In the morning, the earliest degree in the Megillah is Alur HaShachar. Bidiyav Ebelul Chatzilet should be after Netzach Hama. Let's say you're a Chayal in the Shetach, Chayalim in Aza. So Bidiyaved, if you can't read the Megillah at night for whatever reason, then you can read the Megillah as early as Pelag HaMincha, which is an hour and a quarter before sunset on a regular day. And in the morning, you can read it as early as Alur HaShachar if there's nothing else you can do. Let's say you're a doctor. Pre-med? Yeah, one, two. Three? No pre-med.
Your pre-law.
Pre-law. Oh, wow. Your parents are very modern. Okay, fine. Pre-med?
Busyness.
Very good. But let's say you're a doctor. You have the night shift. You have to be in the hospital at 7 o'clock, and that's already before Megillah reading. So how are you going to manage hearing the Megillah? So someone like that could hear the Megillah already from Pelag HaMincha.
Get emailed.
Yeah. So this whole... the whole electronic Megillah reading doesn't really work. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that email. Yeah. I thought you were saying like the Zoom recording or the voice recording, phone calls. Yeah, that was funny. You get the Megillah reading email too. Yeah.
That work actually.
No, it doesn't work.
It
doesn't work.
Build your obligation of hearing Megillah.
Yeah, it doesn't work. During COVID, it was either don't fulfill the Megillah reading or fulfill it according to some opinions. So the answer is fulfill it according to some opinions. But without that,
oh,
crazy.
Wow, I
believe
that's what it
was. Yeah.
I fully had it in person.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, oh, by the way, me too.
Yeah. Okay, if
so
you're not...
the whole experience. It's like every other year.
I think Judaism didn't really conform to COVID. COVID kind of conformed to Judaism.
Depends on your community. Depends on your community. Now, if you miss the Megillah reading, one or the other, you don't get any mitzvah. You missed it. There's no making up. Don't be with that silly guy who drank. Listen to Rabbi Javaheri say drink before the Megillah reading, and I thought that I meant alcohol. I did not say that. It's correct. It is dangerous and stupid and whatever. If you're gonna drink on the full stomach, okay? It's good eitza in general. You go to the Purim Suda, the first thing you do is not open your bottle. It's put food in your mouth, put water, and hydrate yourself all day long. That way you don't get smashed. But at the same time, after the Megillah reading here, Rav Goldberg's house is a great place to go, and there's usually a chagiga in the cafeteria, in the gym. This year, I don't know what the story is with the war. Whatever happens, happens. But fine.
We were supposed to have a bio midterm the Wednesday after Purim.
Oh yeah.
And people are kind of getting pushed off to the week after, like the Monday after. The argument is that
two days to recover.
It's like you should drink so you don't know the difference.
Yeah. Right. I
hear. Smash that night. So.
What a kiddush Hashem. What a
kiddush. Monday after
morning. Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Shushan. We don't get a single
day. That's gonna be a fun morning.
Shushan Purim, there is fast. So you can have vegetables, fruit, coffee, drinks, whatever. That's fine. Mesedir. Now reading the Megillah with Minyan is pretty imperative. Berov am hadrat melech. It's most important to fulfill the mitzvah in greater numbers. At the same time, if for whatever reason the bigger shul is not for you, let's say it's hard to hear the Megillah or people talk or whatever, so then you can go to the smaller minyan. You have a you have a 100-person Sephardi minyan on Purim, and a 250-person Ashkenazi minyan in Gluck. No joke. It's gorgeous in Gluck. It's packed. And here it's also very, very nice. But halacha would tell you, go to the bigger minyan. Right? It's Berov Am, Hadran Melech. Answer is Sephardi minyan takes precedence. You go there. You should go there and fulfill the mitzvah. You fulfill the mitzvah on the Sephardi minyan as opposed to Ashkenazi minyan. So help. Yeah, you're saying...
Who's reading the Megillah?
They're saying that. I said that's also a factor. Yeah, that's also a factor. Correct. Yeah.
No, but I want to learn how to read the Megillah.
I also do. Like yeah. Yeah. I'd love to do. Huh? I'll give you the recording on YouTube. Read it.
No, my dad does it every year, so I read.
Oh yeah. Cool.
Yeah, but I have to.
I can't do it myself because I'm horrible at memorizing like long readings.
I have to do it. I have to do it in Syrian. I just checked.
So, yeah, there you go. So it's the same as everyone else. Anyway, everyone else is the same. Now, in terms of Rovam Hadrat Melech, my mother-in-law, Baruch Hashem, has 10 children. And maybe 10 or maybe 11 grandchildren. I don't really know at this point, to tell you the truth. I know I have 4 of them, but that's about it.
4 kids, really?
Yeah,
what? I thought you had two.
So anyway, so my mother-in-law has 10 children, so for much of her married life, she's been home with a child and not in shul. You know, most of the time, there's always some kid who has to be home, and she misses the Megillah reading, so my father-in-law will read the Megillah for her when he gets home. He goes to shul, Megillah and shul, and then he comes home, and he reads the Megillah at home for my mother-in-law and whichever kids, my daughters who are married and have their own children, who are home. So my father-in-law did that for many years. And he moved to Israel this past year and a half ago, November of last year, they moved to Israel. So last Purim was their first Purim in Israel with only 2 kids at home. So everyone else is out of the house, basically. And they left their Megillah in America by one of their sons. My brother-in-law lives in Passaic, has the Megillah. So my father-in-law doesn't have a Megillah to read for my mother-in-law. So this year, past year, Miskena, my mother-in-law had to go to shul on Purim for the first time in however many years. So I get a phone call. I get a phone call from my mother-in-law Motzei Purim, saying, or like Shushan Purim, whatever, saying, "You're a sofer. Write a Megillah for me by next year." Like, okay. I'm trying. You're learning to be a sofer. Why instead of buying one?
No, I'm saying, why did you?
That way, she has one to stay home with next year. She's like, I didn't want to go to shul.
So who's going to read it for her?
My father-in-law. He knows how to read. My father-in-law knows how to read. He just doesn't have a Megillah. He had one. Okay, that's also a solution. But whatever. So I told my father that my mother-in-law wants me to write her a Megillah. It takes like 50 hours, you know.
How much are they buying?
1,000 or more.
Really?
Yeah. 50 hours of work. Think about it. That's amazing. So,
how much is the
separatory? 30 to 100,000 dollars. Yeah, Megillah is in much less work and much easier to pull off.
You don't have the whole encasing of silver and.
Yeah, there's a lot more work that goes into the Sefer Torah. Anyway, my father said, absolutely not. You're supposed to be learning Torah. You're not supposed to be writing a Megillah. So, like, now what do I do? My father on one side and my mother-in-law on the other side. I'm stuck. What do I do? So it's Minat Torah. Your father gets Kibud Avaim. Midrabanan, according to most poskim, your mother gets kibud avayim for sure. According to the Al Sheikh, min haTorah, you have to honor your mother-in-law also. So, but where does the Al Sheikh come from? I don't know. I never saw it inside. But neither of them really has a say when it's not related to either of them directly. Kibud avayim is only that direct thing. Your parents need to drive them somewhere, do something for them, take them somewhere. That's when kibud avayim applies. But things that are your own life, your own personal decisions, have no bearing in kibud avayim. It's just stupid not to listen to your parents. You want to be an idiot, and you can be an idiot. The halacha doesn't have to say it's a mitzvah for that. So I said I needed a third opinion. Two sides. Need a third opinion. So I went to Rav Schefter. My father-in-law is a Talmud of Rav Schefter. I was in Rav Schefter's shiur for 6 years. My father-in-law was in Rav Schefter's shiur for 11 years. So you think I'm so special. My father-in-law got 11 years out of shiur. So my mother-in-law, whenever she wanted, in the early years of her marriage, she wanted my father-in-law to do something, she wouldn't say take out the garbage. She would say Rav Schefter said take out the garbage. So and it worked. So I went to Rav Schefter, I said, Rebbe, my mother-in-law said this, my father said that. What do you say? Because my mother-in-law knows that whatever Rav Schefter says, I'll do.
So he said, I think you should learn Torah. So that was that. No Megillah right now.
Maybe
that.
Is that
I was thinking it's for her to have a Megillah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's very good answer.
That's
a very good answer. Very good answer. Oh, very good answer.
Are you challenging?
Very good. No, very good answer.
I think you should step down a few steps.
So I would argue back a little bit, but not fully. A kibbutz of the aim has to come from the parents' paycheck. If your parents say go shopping, you're not expected to use your credit card. Yeah.
Would she be willing to?
Yeah, so they have to pay for me to write it. Exactly. Yeah.
Would she be willing?
My mother
will pay
for it. No,
you
didn't ask. I didn't ask
her
for it.
I just told her.
I told her what Shastri said.
She said yes. You have to do it.
If Shastri said yeah. So obviously, I have my mother-in-law has brought me two claps for a Megillah, two Megillah claps, and I have tons of ink and I have tons of feathers. And other things that I can use to write it, I just don't have the time.
You have to do with feather. You can't do with the Gilgamesh.
I have that too. Yeah.
50 hours. That's like 5 shiuri, right?
Yeah.
1 week. What we get 1 week off.
Yeah. Anyway, just to summarize, there are many halachot of the Megillah. You should a deaf person has to hear it up close, and you should not be reading it for you. Men should read it for women. Women should not read it for men or for each other. Definitely not Armin Hag, and also the man not be Yotze, so it's better not to do that. But yeah, but if there's no one else who can read the Megillah, a woman can read it for you. Megillah has very low standards in terms of kashrut. There could be whole words missing, and it'll still be kosher as long as most of it is there. Yeah, as long as most of it is there.
So
there are different minhagim about sitting or standing for the berachot, to whatever your shul says. There are berachot to be recited before and after. We recite all of them. Machloke, what to do when there is no minyan, about reciting the last beracha. But the first berachot everybody says, Al Mikra Megillah, She'asan Yisim Lavotenu, and She'achyanu. For us, it's only at night the She'achyanu, for Ashkenazim, even during the day.
That's
a great question.
So
Machloket
and Megillah. You have the whole end part cut out, and
yeah. It's a whole discussion in Masechta Megillah. Why is only 50% necessary? What's the crux of the Megillah? And the Machloket in the Gemara is what are the most important pieces in the Megillah. So we assume we need all of it, but you have the only goal with some. Without getting. Oh, yeah? Okay, good. Yeah, it's very fascinating. Yeah.
51, I think.
It's a very fascinating halacha. This is what, you only need half of a Sefer Torah? The whole Megillah was given to us. The whole thing is Tanakh. So how come you only need some of it? It's a fascinating halacha that really has more philosophical underpinnings of what's the core of the Megillah. That's not a Shita. It's just where the beginning is. That's it. Where do you start the Megillah from? That's fascinating, either way.
It's important to have the disparity, not disparity, the difference between the beginning and the end.
The dichotomy.
Yeah. All important. But there are different approaches in the Gemara to what's the key. Now, if you miss a word, make it up yourself in a non-kosher Megillah, but as long as you don't read most of it in a non-kosher Megillah, then you're fine. Really try to not space out. If you start falling asleep, you'll have to go way back to wherever you started falling asleep. So stay awake, stand up, do whatever it takes.
Should I read it as Bakra is reading also?
Read inside to yourself, verbally.
Hear it and say it.
Yeah, but then people are like,
no, you have to do it in a way that only you can hear it. And then you have to catch up. If you have your own Megillah, even better. But if you don't have your own Megillah, which is not going to happen, so yeah. Don't interrupt at all, no speaking, no doing anything else. Making noise during Haman is very discouraged. At least maximum first and last is the best. More than that, better not to do anything. There are certain pesukim that we read out loud, everyone together, and then the Chazan reads.
Why discourage everyone doing it and stopping anyways?
So the poskim, not just in your minyan, but in general, the poskim, Benishkai, for example, is not happy with the whole custom of it. It takes people don't hear the chazan sometimes, or like just keeps on being mafsik. Keep on being mafsik. People, when I was in Shalvin, people make animal sounds, a different animal every Haman.
I think it's super far for the kids.
It's cute, yeah. But the thing is that the kids shouldn't even be at your Megillah reading, because that way, once they're 13, that's one thing. Now, that's true, chinuch. But at the same time, it's such a delicate mitzvah, such a fragile mitzvah. If you miss a word, you're stuck. And you have to hear the whole thing again.
You make sure to establish, like, you're starting, like,
yeah.
We're going to do these exact times. We'll make it clear. If you stop then,
everything is a matter of logistics. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. You have to know your shul. Finally, oh, what'd you say? Sorry. Yeah, make a special meeting for the kids. Whatever logistically works in the shul is, you know, ultimately what has to happen. Fine, last point, then we'll pause. You know, don't be that guy who's like walking around taking pictures of everyone and they're doing stupid things and saying the gila. It's just not going to help you be midyot to the mitzvah. When I was in Shalvin, there was a guy who literally was with a video camera walking around. Like, he wasn't paying attention. I don't know what he was thinking. He was listening. Come on. Okay. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Okay. Rabbi Hananiah ben Akashi Amen. Rezal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lizakot Yisrael. Yisrael. Yichach Yivah Lem Torah Mitzvot Shunei Mer. Alay HaKadosh Man Tzikom. Yagdil Torah V'yadir. Anyone?